Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Good morning, everybody. How's your week? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's still our talking month. So I'm God's choice. Chosen, separated, sanctified. Favor is mine. Nothing is too good for me. Praise the Lord. I'm moving from one level to another. Every day of my life, I'm making progress. Glory to God. Yes. We are making progress. Praise the Lord. And this is the last Sunday of the month. So after this service, for some of you, I'll be seeing you next month. Praise the Lord. So are you ready now? All right, now, this service, you look into your Bible. Okay? So either you're looking at the screen or you're looking at your personal Bible. Praise the Lord. Yes, because only the Word of God can change your situation. And change your situation doesn't mean a bad thing. You can move from bad to good, from good to what? Better. And only the Word of God can do that. Praise the Lord. Are you in this place? I started. Only the Word of God can do that. I remember a story in the Bible how that the elders of Israel met Jesus. And they said, they came to beg him. That a particular centurion, his servant, was sick. And they told Jesus that the centurion built a synagogue. And so Jesus started trekking with them to the centurion's house. And so while he was close to the house, the centurion sent servants to Jesus. He said, "Master, are you with me?"
Yes, Master.
The servants came, bringing word from centurion. They said to Jesus, "Master," the centurion was talking, "I am not worthy that you should come under my roof." So he was saying, "Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not good enough for you." But then he said, "Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed." Jesus was not offended. In fact, he was very pleased. He turned around to his disciples, as in Matthew 8, and said, "I have not seen so great faith in all of Israel." Meaning that he thought his word was so important, even more important than him appearing physically. Because if Jesus appeared and just stood, chances are nothing might happen. He must say something. Praise the Lord. So he was not offended. So my point is, only the word of God can change your situation. And so today, when we are looking at the Bible, look at it with desire. Do you understand? Every verse, pay attention. Forget how this place looks. Just focus on the word. Praise the Lord. So let's start. Go to Luke 4, verse 18. So this is special deliverance service. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, deliverance. I like that word. Some people don't like it because they always associate deliverance with evil spirit. Do you understand? So someone says, "I have a deliverance ministry." You know what it's about. People will be falling. People will be vomiting. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Vomiting frogs. Cockroach. But not you. All right. Luke 4 verse 18. I'll read it. Look into your Bible. Or you can look at the screen. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." I love Jesus so much. He didn't wait for someone to tell him, "You look anointed." He said it himself. Are you seeing that? He didn't wait for someone to notice that the Spirit of God was upon him. No, he said it himself. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So he came for the poor. Praise the Lord. Are you in this place? All right. "He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted." You see, so people who say they have heartbreak, he came for them too. Are you in this place? There are people always listening to songs about heartbreak. Songs about heartbreak. He came for them, praise the Lord. And he came to heal them so they will not listen to those songs again. So if you're here, you still have those songs. It's special deliverance service. After today, you delete them. Praise the Lord. All right. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. He knew his purpose. He's telling us his purpose, why God sent him. God sent him to the poor. He sent him to the brokenhearted. He sent him to the what? Captives. So God knows there are people that are captive. Are you seeing that? He knows there are some people that are captives. They've been captured. And Jesus said he sent him to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are what? Bruised. But it's deliverance service, so let's focus on the deliverance part. He says to preach deliverance to the captives. Now, of course, the captives here doesn't mean physical captives. He didn't come to do prison break. Are you in this place? So someone says, I'm a prisoner, so Jesus came to rescue me. No, John the Baptist, his cousin, was in prison. He never visited him because he wasn't talking about physical captivity, praise the Lord. He was talking about spiritual captivity. There are people that have been held captive spiritually. So you see it at times in their body. You see it in their family. You see it in the way they think. There are people who do some things. Are you in this place? Maybe they react a particular way. And after a while, they ask themselves, why did I react that way? You could have the guy, he has an interview, he's looking for a job for a very long time. And finally, his uncle connected him. All right? And he has an interview early in the morning, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, he's sleeping. They come and wake him up. Huh? Aren't you going for that interview? He said, I'm tired. I don't want to go. And everybody's looking at him like this. He said, don't worry, another one will come. In the afternoon, he starts wondering, what happened to me? And someone says, it's from the village. All right. But you see, spiritual captivity, that's what I'm talking about. Jesus came to preach deliverance to the captives. And he made it clear. Go to Luke 13. Luke chapter 13. Are you paying attention to the word of God? All right. Luke 13 verse 16. Luke 13 verse 16. Luke 13 verse 16. If you're there, say I'm there. So we are not waiting for him. Let's go there. Luke 13 verse 16. If you're there, say I'm there.
I'm there.
I read it. Jesus is talking. He says, is he there now? Okay. But are you looking into your Bible?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. He says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day. So he came to preach deliverance to the captives. And now he's giving you an example. A woman came into the synagogue and she was bent over. Are you in this place? And so Jesus laid his hands on her and said, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And she became straight. And the Pharisee was not very happy about it and was complaining. And then he made a statement. He says, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had what? Bound. I told you, he came to preach deliverance to spiritual captives. If someone is a captive, then the question is, who is holding him bound? Who has imprisoned him? Here, he makes it clear. He said, whom Satan had bound, Lord, this what? 18 years. That means the woman was bent over for 18 years. The people who have been bound for years. But you see, the good thing is, she had been bound for 18 years, but it took split second for her to get a miracle. Split second. I always try to remind you that time, the length of your problem is not an issue to God. The issue for himself is that it has taken that long. Are you in this place? It's not an issue. 18 years, 12 years, 20 years, 2 months, yesterday, everybody who is bound will be loosed.
Amen.
Look at it. He says, whom Satan had bound, Lord, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. So you see, God sent him to do that, and he was doing. Let's look at some examples. Mark 1, verse 23. So one of the examples. I told you this, just focus on the word of God. All right? Mark 1, verse 23. And while I'm preaching, if you remember something that is trying to distract you, tell the devil, get out and focus. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
When things are about to change, most times Satan heightens his distraction. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He heightens it. When something is about to happen, he heightens it. The Bible says in Matthew 17 that Jesus came and met an epileptic boy. Immediately the devil saw Jesus, he knew his time was up. So he fell down and started displaying. He tried to make them concerned. And so in this service, as I'm preaching and we're looking at the word of God, don't be distracted, praise the Lord. Go to Mark 1, verse 23. Mark 1, verse 23. Quickly, we have so many verses to look at today. If you're there, say, I'm there. All right, I'll read it. He says, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and do what? So he delivered that man. He said, shut up, come out of him. And look at that, verse 26. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he did what? Came out of him. Go to Mark 3. Mark 3, verse 11. Praise the Lord. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, wait for me. All right, Mark 3, verse 11. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art what? The Son of God. So once he entered a place and the devils knew Jesus had come, they fell down and they started shouting. Go to Mark 7. Mark 7, verse 29. Not so, so wonder, Jesus they do. Is that true?
Yes.
Is it true in your life?
Yes.
If it is not true, you don't have to sing. But if it is true, now so, so wonders Jesus they do.
Now so, so wonders Jesus they do.
One more time. Now so, so wonders Jesus they do.
Now so, so wonders Jesus they do.
Hey, he has done it for me. Hey, he has done it for me. Hey, 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 he has done it for me. Now so, so wonders Jesus did. Praise the Lord. All right, Mark 7, verse 29. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, wait for me. So we are all there. Those of us at the back, do you have a Bible with you? Praise the Lord. Michael, do you have a Bible with you? You're smiling. Because you know I'm going to call you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You see, the issue is you don't come to church without a Bible because there's a screen. All right? Because you're not taking this screen home. For sure, you're not. You come to church with your own personal book. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. So if you don't have a Bible, just pay attention to me. Mark 7, verse 29. I'll read it. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. 30. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. So he delivered this man's daughter without going to the house. All right. Mark chapter 9. Mark 9, verse 25. Mark 9, verse 25. So at times you're here and in your family, in your house right now, there is need for deliverance. While you're here, that can happen there.
Yes.
Because in Mark 7, he didn't go to the woman's house. He just said it. He just gave her information. He said, listen, the devil has gone. And immediately he said that the devil checked out. You know, it's like prophecy. The devil has gone. So the devil thought, oh, I have gone. Okay, I have gone. And so while you're here, maybe what you need might not need to happen here. Wherever it needs to happen, it's happening. Yeah. All right. Mark 9, verse 25. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, and he didn't shout it. He just said it. So my point is, as I'm sharing the word of God with you, I don't need to shout. I could raise my voice, but it's not necessary. The word of God is powerful enough. Yes. Are you in this place? Yes. And that's why you pay attention. All right. Mark 9, verse 25. When Jesus saw that people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Verse 26. And the spirit cried. That means he shouted. And rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, in so much that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. So we've been in Mark since. And you see, throughout Jesus ministering to people, delivering them according to what God sent him to do. Now there's something he said I want to show to you. Are you in this place? Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Matthew 12, verse 43. We're just touching the surface, getting to the message now. Matthew 12, verse 43. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, wait for me. Am I waiting for anybody? Matthew 12, verse 43. I'll read it. He says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walk. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, throughout, he was casting out devils out of people. Are you in this place? The devil saw him, they went out. Others, he had to tell them, get out, and they left. Now he's explaining something that happened after the deliverance. Matthew 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Remember, one of the first things we learned early this month was that something might not be seen, but it is real. When this unclean spirit goes out of the man, nobody sees the spirit. But Jesus said the spirit is walking up and down, going from house to house, looking for who to possess. Think about it. There are spirits like that. They are looking for an entrance, looking for someone to possess. Now, there's nothing to be scared about, all right? But he's giving us insight. Okay, it's on now. He says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, meaning he's restless. He's restless, and findeth none. Verse 44. Then he said, the spirit is talking to himself now, all right? The devil. Then he said, I will return into my house. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He called the man's body his house. He didn't say, I'll return it to that man. No, he said, my house. He has claimed it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But you know what? We are the temple of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are his house. And he doesn't share. Are you in this place? All right, but look at this. This is interesting. I'll return into my house from whence I came out. They just cast him out. He said, I'm going to return to where I came, my house. And when he's come, so he goes back to the man. Praise the Lord. You know, at times in services, we say, when you have received the healing, testify. There's a reason for it. All right? There are people who get a miracle, and then after 3 weeks, 2 days, 3 days, the issue comes back again. Have you seen people like that? Maybe they could not see clearly. And in the service, they began to see. And then after some days, the problem comes back. Jesus is explaining what happens. When the devil is gone out, he goes around, goes to Odrelegba, goes to Bode Thomas, he doesn't come to his solo though, goes to VI, seeking rest, and he doesn't find it, so he goes back to that man. Look at it. Then he said, I'll return into my house from whence I came out, and when he's come, he findeth it what? Empty. Why? Because he has gone. But the man was not diligent enough to receive something else. to receive the word of God. He found it empty, swept, and what? Garnished. Verse 45. So some people say that man of God is fake because that man got healed and after 3 days his situation became worse. He tricked them. No. Jesus is explaining what happens. You might not see it happening, but it is real. Are you in this place? It is real. Look at it. Then goeth he now he comes to the house, finds it clean. He was the dustbin in the house before. He has gone out and now the house is clean. Then he goeth and taketh with him 7 other spirits, more what? Wicked. So demons have hierarchy of wickedness. Some are not so wicked, so they come with cough. Praise the Lord. Malaria. So someone says, I have little malaria. Some are very wicked. They come with that disease that only one person has in the whole world. Look at it. And take it, so he's going to do publicity and evangelism now. And take it with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in. What was the man doing when they entered in? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh God, pay attention to this. All right? The man is sitting. He didn't know he was in his parlor. He didn't know when a demon came and checked him out. And this one is clean. And left. He didn't know. Then the demon brought 7 other spirits more wicked in front of him. He still didn't know. And the demon entered him. He still didn't know. Look at it. He says, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. But you see, when there is deliverance, you must be delivered into something. Are you in this place? It's not enough to bring you out of the pits. We must put you somewhere else. It's like the man who has been released from prison but has no source of income. What do you think? He'll probably go and steal again. So you must be delivered. So here, this man that was delivered, after the demon left, he should have opened room for the Holy Ghost. And so when they come, the Bible says you put to death the transactions of the body through the spirit. All right. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All of this to say that when Jesus walked on the earth, he was involved in delivering people from illnesses, from problems. You know, there's some of you that were thinking, that's why during that service, the pain in my knee went through. But after 4 months, it came again. Jesus is telling you how it happened. It wasn't that the bone shifted again. No. The spirit responsible came and checked you out and you were not speaking the word. Are you seeing that? You have become lazy. So he went and brought his brothers and his cousins and his family members and they entered in. Hey, but not you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Now when you become born again, he delivers you. Go to Galatians chapter 1. All right? Galatians 1. Are you in this place? All right. Galatians 1. Verse 4. I know some of you, you will not forget this one. I mean, what I just said about demon checking people out. Praise the Lord. That's why he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. He's telling you what happens. You might be in your friend's place. I don't want to go beyond myself, but you see, it's our talking months. At times, you know, think about it. Are you paying attention to this? That demon went round looking for where to rest. He found none. Meaning that some people did not give him room.
Yes.
So it is possible for a demon to show up and there's no room for him.
Yes.
Meaning he waits until there's an entrance. You're in your friend's house talking anyhow. Talking anyhow. You say this Buhari's government can make somebody sick. But your adversary as a roaring lion is right there. Once you say it, you have open the door. Now you leave the house. I don't know what happened. My head is just spinning me. You said it. We are getting there. Galatians 1 verse 4. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He's talking about Jesus, why he came. He says, who gave himself for our sins? Do you know he gave himself for your sin? The punishment you should have faced, he faced it for you. Do you know? That's what he's saying here. Say it. Say, Jesus gave himself for my sins. All right. He says, who gave himself for our sins? For a reason. He says that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Our Father. He sent Jesus so he would deliver us from this present evil world. Even if you are in the world, the issues in the world does not have to affect us. That's why he came. Anytime you say Jesus died for my sin, add the second part, then he delivered me from this world. All the sickness in the world, all the problems and pain in the world, that's why he came. Listen, the Bible says sin entered into the world and death through sin. Meaning that pain, problem, issues came because of sin. Now that he gave himself for your sins, that means those pains, the sicknesses, the issues should have no hold on you. He has delivered you. Praise the Lord. And he says it's according to the will of God. So God knows the world is evil. Some people might try to cheat you, but he has delivered you. But you see, I said you must be delivered from something into something else. Go to Colossians. Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 13. Say this. Say the world might be evil. The world might be full of sickness, diseases, pain, trouble, fraud, but I've been delivered. Verse 13. He says, who had delivered us from the power of what? Darkness. Not who will deliver us. He has done it already. He has delivered you from the power of darkness. This is for Christians. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has done what? Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He has moved you. Your location has changed. You are in a place where darkness cannot influence you anymore. Look at it. He says from the power of darkness, that means the authority, the ability of darkness, into the kingdom of his dear son. In that kingdom there's a king. His name is the Lord Jesus. And he's the one in charge. And nothing can affect you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is your inheritance as a Christian. You have been delivered. Praise the Lord. This is nice, isn't it? Delivered from pain. Delivered from failure. Delivered from fear. Delivered from sickness. Delivered from uncertainty. This is the reality of the Christian. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But you see, at times, there are Christians who still face fear, uncertainty, sickness, pain. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There are Christians like that. Even though he has placed them in the kingdom of his dear son, they wonder. They begin to participate with things that don't concern them. They get themselves exposed. Listen, are you in this place? He said he has translated you into the kingdom of his son. He's the one who also said, be sober, be vigilant. Are you seeing that? So even though you're in the best place ever, there might be situations that would cause you to accept for yourself that which is not yours. So he says, be sober, be vigilant. Let me show you some people. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I told you, just focus on the word of God today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. If you understand there,
I'm there.
When we are there, I read it. He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's interesting, isn't it? Are you in this place? There are people that oppose themselves. Meaning they should be going forward, but they kick themselves backward. They are their own disadvantage. They are Christians. Because if they're not Christians, they will not be instructed. They need to get born again. They're Christians. They oppose themselves. Let's finish this. He says, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26. Now, those who oppose themselves, his solution is that they should be instructed. Do you understand? They should be told. So, the solution is not prayer. No, they need information. Verse 26. He says, and that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Talking about Christians. He said there are some Christians that are taken captive by the devil at his will. He says, instruct them that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. So here you have a Christian that he's born again, he has been translated into the kingdom of light, but he opposes himself. And so he's born again, but he's sick. He's born again, but there are problems. He's born again, but he's a coward. And then because of his inconsistencies, the devil will play the door in his life. Anytime there is cold, he'll be affected. Anytime there's a new disease, he must get it. COVID, he's number one. Ulcer, number two. Always affected. Now, you know, Jesus died once. Are you in this place? Never to die again. And so if you have received salvation, you have received it once. So if you put yourself in the snare of the devil, he's not coming to save you again. So how would you be delivered? Look at it, 26. He says, and that they may recover themselves. Let's read it together. 26, one to go. Stop. He's not coming to recover them. They will be the one to deliver themselves. He's talking about the authority of a Christian. Are you in this place? They will be the ones to deliver themselves. It's in the Bible. So when you're a Christian and you find out your life is not going straight, he says you are the one to do it. Listen, it's good you know the word of God. So you will know what God's responsibility is and you know your own responsibility. Now he's saying when you're born again, and you find out that it's like the devil is playing film trick with your life. He says you're the one to recover yourself out of the snare of the devil. Meaning that you enter the trap. That's why you're the one to recover yourself. You know why? Because you're bigger than the devil. Are you in this place? You're bigger. Imagine you woke up in the morning and your younger brother held your leg. And throughout, you feel a hand in your leg, but you didn't look back. You went to work, the hand was still there. You sat down, the hand is still there. You try to jump, the hand pull you down. Until all of a sudden you turn back and it was your younger brother. Would you ask your mommy to come and talk to him? Come on, talk to me. What would you do? You recover yourself. Are you in this place? For some people, you add beating to it. The devil has been defeated. So he says, when you realize that is like the devil is playing games with your life. It is your job to come out of it. Someone says, how? Look at it. He says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Go to Proverbs 6, verse 2. Are you in this place? I told you, pay attention to the verses. Proverbs 6, verse 2. Proverbs 6, verse 2. Verse 2. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're using paper Bible, Proverbs is always in the middle. Just close your eye. Open me. You know, I'm just remembering how that there are people who like to deceive themselves. So they have not been studying the word. They've not been praying. But then they see a lady they like and they want to marry her. So what do? They take their Bible. Say, God, speak to me concerning this lady. Then they open it. And the Lord says, thou shalt not go. All right. But you know, if you know your Bible so well, you know Proverbs is in the middle. So when you're opening it, you don't open Proverbs because it's full of swear. So you go somewhere else. Praise the Lord. Yeah. If you made a mistake, the book you should not look at is Proverbs, because you definitely be called a fool. Verse 2. Go to listen to Jesus. He's very nice, but Proverbs, Solomon is very harsh. All right. Let's read together. I want to go. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Remember, he said, these people, he wants them to recover themselves from the snare of what? The devil. How did they fall into the trap? The words of their mouth. What they said. They oppose themselves with their words. In church, you're making progress. Outside church, Brari, economy has finished us. Very smart. Not me. So what's happening? Listen. The reason why I read that Matthew 12 to you is that you know that there are spirits that are active. Yes. Are you in this place? Yes. Because you don't see them, doesn't mean they are not working. That day you opened your mouth and said, Buhari, economy has finished us. He told you their spirit is going up and down looking for someone to enter. Looking for a home to enter. Once you said, he has finished us, you opposed yourself. When you said you're making progress, you were moving forward spiritually. Then you said, Buhari, economy has finished us, you went backward. Who is doing you? You're the one. You're talking forward and backward. Forward and backward. You're opposing yourself. And guess what? The devil will take advantage of that. The Bible says they are taken captive at his will. So anytime he wakes up in the morning and wants to disturb someone, it's that person that doesn't know how to control his mouth. So if they want to recover themselves, go back to that 2 Timothy 2. Are in this place? Today it's talking month. This deliverance service will spend some time talking strategically. And the anointing of God is in this place. Yes. So the talking is fire power talking. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So I'm making progress.
So I'm moving forward.
Say nothing can stop me.
Say, I've entered my rest. Now that you have said it, remain there. The only other thing you're allowed to say is something that will move you forward. Are you in this place? No, this life is tough. No, you said you have entered your rest. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. He says, in meekness, instructing those. So I'm instructing you. Instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, by adventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, meaning that now that I've said, by talking, you can move yourself forward or backward. He wants you to acknowledge the truth. He wants you to know that your words are doing something to you. Verse 26. He says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Now that you know it is my words that can move me forward or keep me trapped. He says, recover yourselves. The word recover there means to be sober. Let me explain to you. Have you seen a drunk man before? Have you seen someone who's drunk before? While he's drunk, he looks useless. Say nonsense. Sees gutter and thinks he's swimming pool. Useless. When he's sober and he bathes, you might not believe that man was the same drunk man you saw. Because now his eye is cleared. Now he's saying, there's some Christians that in their life, it's up and down. It's always shaking. He says when they realize it's their words, he wants them to be sober. Meaning they open their eyes and be, oh. So it's the things that I've been saying that have kept me here. Oh, all right. That means I'll change what I'm saying. That's what he's saying here. All right. At times, there are situations, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because normally, nobody wakes up in the morning and starts saying, things are hard, things are difficult. All right? Most times, you have challenges that happen. Okay? Maybe the guy goes to the market and everybody in the market is complaining the dollar has increased, price of goods, the value is lesser. So he has all of those challenges, and then by mistake he says, ah, this week is going to be tough. You see, it's not because he wants to say it. The challenges have caused him to say it. And the Bible is saying that once he says that, he has given the devil room to make things really hard for him. But here's the thing. Because there are challenges, all right, doesn't mean you should bow to those challenges. Let me show you something. Then we'll close. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 3. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you been paying attention? James 3, verse 3. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, the word of God is working in me. It's producing results in my life. Verse 3. It says, behold, we put bits in a horse's mouth. Have you seen a horse before?
Yes.
How do they ride a horse? Is it by flogging it? Come on, talk to me. Is it by flogging it? Is it by talking to it? You climb the horse and say, boy, move. You stay there for a very long time. How do they ride a horse? They put stuffs in its mouth, right? A rope, a hook, okay? And then they have the rope. So when they want to go right, they move right. Are you seeing that? So he's saying they control the horse through his mouth. All right, let's look at this. He says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us and we turn about their whole body. So when you do like this to the horse's mouth, the body turns. Verse 4. I'm saying that you don't have to put yourself in the snare of the devil because of challenges. Verse 4. He said, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor is listed. Have you seen a ship before? Have you seen a ship before? I don't mean canoe. I don't mean boats, flying boats, because when people hear ship, they think it's that thing that's going zoom. I don't mean that boat you enter from Ikorodu to Island. A ship, have you seen a ship? Very big. Very, very big. Look at this. Pay attention. He says, behold also the ships, which though they be so great, he says, and are driven of what? Fierce winds. The ship is so big, and you have fierce winds hitting the ship left, right, and center. Are you in this place? So the captain is moving forward, and the wind comes and tries to shift the ship. Are you in this place? He says, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce wind, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listed. Verse 5. He says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Pay attention to this. The ship is big. And imagine if the captain puts the ship on the sea and says, let the wind just take us wherever it wants. Will they get to their destination? Maybe he's traveling to the UK. And he says, let's just allow the ship to move us. Will they get to their destination? They will find themselves in Badagry or in the bush about to be eaten as human sacrifice. So even though there are winds that can move the ship, he's saying the driver, the governor, still has the control. He doesn't have to let those winds move the ship. He still has that thing that can turn the body of the ship. Are you in this place? He says there's a small helm. There's a small rotor under the ship that the governor can move like this and the ship would move despite the winds. Then he says the tongue is like that small helm. What is he trying to tell you? He said in your life, you might have challenges. Imagine you're driving, praise the Lord. Imagine you're riding a bike through a small road. And to the left, there's water. Are you in this place? To the right, there's water. And you're going forward. Are you in this place? And while you're riding the bike, a strong wind blows from the left. and another strong wind blows from the right. Would you say while riding the bike, oh, the wind has blown, now I will fall? Is that what will happen? Come on, talk to me. Is that what will happen? Instead, you press the accelerator. You keep moving forward because you know if you move forward fast, then the wind will not have to control you. He says your tongue is like that control. Even if you're facing challenges, you don't give in to the challenges. Are you in this place? Else, it will make you sink. He says you keep talking. Praise the Lord. You keep saying what you should say. So there are people who have found themselves in situations they should not be, simply because they were moved by their challenges. That should not be your story. But if that is your story today, you're in deep palaver. You can be like Jonah. The Bible says Jonah was swallowed by a whale. No other person can be in such deep problem like that. He was swallowed by a big fish in the stomach of the fish. And you know, Jesus likened himself to Jonah. Have you seen that in your Bible before? He did. Go to Jonah 2, verse 8. Jonah 2, verse 8. Some people have not seen Jonah for a very long time. Jonah 2, verse 8. Some people even forgot that Bible is, that chapter exists, or that book. Now they are going to John. Jonah is in the Old Testament. So I can't find my own Bible. What version are people using? All right, 2 verse 8. Jonah was in the belly of the fish. And you know, Jonah never begged God while he was in the belly. He never did. He just spoke how he wanted to be. That's what Jonah did. Go read from verse 1. Because people think Jonah cried unto the Lord and said, friend, didn't do that. You know why he didn't do that? Look at what he said in verse 8. He's still in the fish's stomach. This verse was spoken out of a fish. Look at it. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He was in the stomach of the fish. He says, this is a lying vanity. Meaning this is a lie. God could have said, so you mean I put you in fish, you think I'm lying? No, but it was an act of faith. Because he says you are ensnared or snared by the words of your mouth. He was already in the fish's stomach. He was not going to make the situation worse. Instead, he started speaking the future, what he wanted to see. Look at verse 8. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. He said, at times God wants to be merciful to a man. Yes, business is tough. But he asks you to do one thing. Live by faith. Don't focus on the toughness of the business. Are you in this place? He says they are lying vanities. He says when you observe it, you forsake your mercy. Meaning that when you're stuck in a situation, a challenge, there is the challenge, there is mercy. It matters what you're focusing on. The day you remove your eyes from mercy and start complaining about the challenge, you have forsook your mercy. So he says they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Verse 9. He is still in this fish's stomach. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He's in the stomach of the fish and he's already planning his future. With confidence, he said he will go out. He's already, praise the Lord. Imagine you need to pay 10,000 naira right now. But you're looking at cars on Gigi. He said, I'd like to buy this one. Everybody look at you. Are you okay? Even 10,000 you don't have. But that is an act of faith. Yes. Look at it. He's in the fish's stomach. Are you in this place? He didn't wait for him to come out. He didn't come out first and say, now that I've come out, I will sacrifice. No. In the fish's stomach, he says, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. In that he's saying, I know you can save me right now. And because you can, very soon I'll sacrifice to you. Verse 10. After God heard that, the Lord spoke unto the fish. He said, remove this man. Remove him. You know, It's like what Jesus did in Mark 7. He told the woman, the devil is gone out of your daughter. I told you once, he said the devil is gone. The devil realized, oh, so I'm gone. Okay, so I have to go. Now, Jonah in the fish's stomach says, I will sacrifice unto thee. God says he will sacrifice. He has to go. Are you in this place? He says, those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. This is what it means. You might have spoken words that put you in trouble today. That trouble, at its best, is still a lying vanity. How do you come out of that trouble? Like Jonah, speak where you want to be. Are you in this place? You don't say, I have put myself in trouble now. What can I do? No, you're observing lying vanities. Speak where you want to be. Oh, there's an health situation. You're the one that put yourself there. Ah, Father, I thank you because I am strong. The Thanksgiving service this year, I will dance. Because you have made me strong. That is how you recover yourself from the snare of the devil. That is how you do it. Remember I told you something. Jesus likened himself to Jonah. Go to Matthew 12. I just need to show you this. This is so important. Because when you see it in the life of Jesus, you know it's perfect. Matthew 12, verse 39. So maybe you need deliverance today. Don't focus on where you are. Focus on where you want to be. And give God thanks. He said mercy is available. Mercy is available. You know what mercy means? It means you made a mistake. But God's mercy is available. But don't observe lying vanities. Because if you observe lying vanities, you forsake that mercy. Thank God for his mercy that is available. Verse 39, Jesus is talking. He says, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Verse 40. You know, the Bible says without faith. So if you like, cry from now to tomorrow. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Beg from now to tomorrow. Without faith, nothing is happening. So why don't you leave the begging? Are you in this place? And focus on what God can do. Verse 40. Jesus is talking. He says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so he read Jonah too. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. That's when he went to hell. How did Jonah come out of the whale's belly? By talking. He likened himself to Jonah, saying that the way he would come out, because he planned to resurrect, the way he would come out from that hell would be by talking. And it's true. Go to Luke 24. Let me show you something. Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 4. And I've closed my Bible. 24, verse 4. I'm saying you might be in a deep problem. Like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Like Jesus went to hell. It can't be as bad as that. But my point is, you can be in a big situation. But God says, recover yourself. Meaning, come out from that place. Jonah came out, not by observing lying vanities, but by speaking how he wanted to be. Jesus came out. Look at it, 24 verse 4. When the women went to the tomb, they met an angel. And angels spoke to them. Two men. Verse 4. Are you in this place? See, please. Just pay attention now. Okay? Please. Verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, meaning they went to the tomb and they didn't see anybody. And so they were wondering, what happened? What happened? Behold, two men standing by them in shining garments. Verse 5. So while they were thinking, two men came and stood by them, and their cloth was what? Shining. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? So the angels came and they were asking the women, why are you looking for someone who is alive amongst those that are dead? Verse 6. He is not here. In case their eyes, they think he's deceiving them. Angels told them, he is not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. Verse 7. Saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day do what? Rise again. They are saying that the reason why he resurrected is based on what he said. They could have said, he is not here. He has risen. We are the ones that brought him out. No. They linked it to the words that he had proclaimed before. They said, remember he said this thing. He had said, I will die, I will be buried, and in 3 days, I would rise. I love Jesus. He spoke about his future, and it ended gloriously. So why look at you now when you can speak yourself out of that situation? And speak. Praise the Lord. Say, I'm a success. Then a few months later, the angels will say, remember how they said in Love Haven Church, how he said he was a success. They were reminding the women. Do you know there are angels in this place?
Yes.
Your angel, my angel, ministry angels. What do you want them to remember? I'm making progress. No sickness in my body. I want you to think of that problem, whatever it is right now. Now you say, I have come out of it. I'm giving thanks to God because everything is working perfectly. Now, he says, those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. So in this service right now, remove your mind from that thing. That thing, that family issue, that health problem. I want you to remove your mind now. I want you to see how you want to be. Some of you have not seen it yet. That money you're expecting, when you get it, will you be sitting down? Will you be sitting down? You'll be giving glory to God. No, I don't want to force you. No. No. Remember, once Jonah spoke the words in faith, God was so impressed. He was so impressed. He told the fish, let this man go. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I want you to see where you want to be. When that problem is taken away, how would you be like? I want you to see that and respond. Speak.